Win £50,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along. It's Fridays with Fran and myself as part of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. And we're looking ahead to Dundalk, but also having a quick look at what happened last week and what's going to happen this weekend as far as the world of racing is concerned. Fran Berry, as always, how are you?
PK, could not be better, actually. Yeah. It's been a good week. Everything's building up to Christmas, isn't it? Started a holiday season in some respects. And Dundalk yesterday, had an early Chinese main course on the way home, and all is good, actually. Yeah, good form.
What was the order?
Szechuan prawns.
Oh,
Singapore noodles on the side, and eating it at 7 o'clock rather than 10:30 on a Friday night with Kevin O'Ryan is a lot more better for your digestive system, I'd say. Yes,
I think you're dead right, particularly if there's two of them a week, which it does seem like there are at this stage. Speaking of last week, speaking of Dundalk, back in form, you hit the crossbar about 6 times the week before last. But last week, 4 winners. Your Knapp, unfortunately, Gibraltar did win, but you did mention in the piece, watch out for Cozone as well, who actually won the race. So I'm going to give you 4.5 winners for last week.
Yeah, thank you. I hope people had a saver on Cozone at least in last. He was well back from 16-1 into 8-1, but Gibraltar, very, very disappointing run, but thankfully that was the last race of the evening. Anyone following or listening would have hopefully had a good evening up to that point at least.
Yeah, some nice winners. Successo Velocidad drifted out to a really nice prize, 13-2, I think that won out, which if anyone put that into any sort of accumulator, maybe producer Mark put a few horses together.
That best odds guarantee is always helpful, isn't it?
All right. In joke alert. Right. Look, we're going to look ahead to Dundalk as we always do, but a reminder as we head towards the weekend, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. By the time this podcast is live, you'll have the opportunity to check what the 5 races are on Saturday afternoon. And the great news is, it's $50,000. It wasn't won last week. It's free to play. I must stress that. It's absolutely free to get involved in. 5 winners and you'll get $50,000 or a share of it if you win with anyone else. Check out the show notes for how you can get involved, and we're going to give it a go this week. Listen up for Ruby and Rory later this week, where they'll be going through those races. We've got loads to go through. Actually, I was looking at the card this morning, as I always do, obviously on a Thursday. I don't know why we call this Fridays with France. It's usually out on Thursdays. But anyway, I was looking at the card this morning. There's a couple of really nice races. I was kind of expecting it to be into the Christmas party season. They chuck in more 47 to 50, 55 races, but there's a couple of, like, that maiden, the maiden looks really good. And that handicap is an absolute cracker. The horse is rated up to 100 or so. Yeah,
It really is. That second race is a very good, you know, decent 2-year-old race time of the year. That 1.5 handicap, which we'll probably spend plenty of time talking about, the 7:30 race, proper handicap. And, you know, there's a couple of interesting, even the lower grade races are very competitive for the time of year.
You're confident?
Feel good. Yeah, I've got a couple of queer bets, and if they all click, there might not be a flutter or Paddy Power after Friday night. So
the power of Fran. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to, as per usual, look ahead to the races, and then in between we'll talk about the world of racing, Constitution Hill, the Japan Cup, Fancy's a Fairy House on a massive weekend for them as well as Sandown's Tingle Creek. So let's kick off with the opening race. It's a sprint over 5 furlongs. Now, a wood note, well, not one note, there's a couple of notes. Recent course winners to the fore here. Locada for Michael O'Callaghan. Colin Keane was on board last time, Wayne Lorden today. Surely we'll make the market. It'd be very interesting if Wednesday night's winner or Wednesday afternoon's winner, Inishmo Prince, is back out as well, because both of those recent course winners, let's assume they both run, which there's no reason to not. What are your thoughts, Fran?
Yeah, look, start with Inishmo Prince. Very good win on Wednesday night, over 6 furlongs, and he's a multiple course winner at this stage. He beat No Speed Limit, of course, and No Speed Limit was second to Lakota last week. We did mention that Lakota could be a little bit of a handicap blot for all that I went against her last week. She's 2 from 2 in the all-weather. She's gone up £10 for winning readily. I could not rule out further improvement from Lakota on the book. She could still be well in, but I haven't been with her in her first 2 wins, so I'm kind of disinclined to go with her on this occasion. Inishmore Prince with the quick turnaround, I'll be happy enough to watch him here back down to 5 furlongs as well. And no speed limit. He's been running really well. Just seems vulnerable to one or two fast finishing horses late on. So again, happy to swerve him and look elsewhere. Number 9, Collective Power, trained by Eddie Lynham. Eddie's having a big winter season, if you like. He had a nice 1-2 yesterday in Dundalk. And of course, he did treble a couple of Fridays ago. And Collective Power was a big eye catcher on his return to action over 6 furlongs. A little over 2 weeks ago, he kept on really well to be second to Dandyville. Dandyville, of course, gone on to win since then in a higher grade. He's down to 5 furlongs. He's won over that trip on a couple of occasions, and he's crucially got the headgear back on. Ticks a lot of boxes, and there could well be a little bit more improvement to come with the benefit of that run. However, I'm very much split between him and another horse. I'm going to go for maybe the market value in this race. Can see Collective Power being well backed. And number 2, Maritime Rules, is really interesting, dropping down to the minimum trip. Gerald Leary's got 3 runners in this race. This is the most unexposed PK, and I think dropping out to 5 furlongs could be the key to see him winning. He was a strong traveller, winning over 6 furlongs in Chancellor to Richard Hannon. And his 2 runs to date, he's shaped very well on the track over 6 furlongs. I don't think he saw the trip last time after being a bit keen behind Dandy Villa's form ties in with Hod's Girl and I Have a Secret and a couple of them horses. And I just think stall one, having had 2 Irish runs down to 5 furlongs with a strong pace lightly, that just could give him the edge over the Eddie Lynham trained Collective Power. And he should be decent each way value.
He should be, because the 3 horses you mentioned beforehand are really likely to make that market, and including no speed limit as well. So yeah, it should be a nice each way price, that Maritime Rules for Gerald Leary and Billy Lee in the 5 o'clock. Right, before we get on to a cracking looking maiden, everyone is talking about Constitution Hill. Great clip on Paddy Pair's Twitter feed, by the way, about the lads having a chat about Constitution Hill. Check it out. It's very good. Is he the best hurdler of all time, Cranberry? That's what they're saying.
We'll talk about that in 3 years' time, isn't it? It's
No. You make these statements now after 4 hurdling starts. Go on.
No, he's not. not at this point, but visually he's the most exciting we've had for a long time, isn't he? You know, the way he went through the race, Newcastle into fighting fifth. Loved the way that they rode him on the day. You know, bounced out in front, no messing. Nico let him stride along, and I loved off the last turn with that long 4 furlong pull up the hill in Newcastle, the way he let him stride on to put the race to bed early, rather than just sit after second last and give him a squeeze. He actually put the pace into the race. Epiton made a mistake at the third last, maybe due to the speed that they were going with, but that finished her off, if you like. And it's just effortless, wasn't it? And the way he just glides over his hurdles, he's got a great technique. He barely gets front legs over them, which is what you want to see in a champion hurdle. It reminds you of the way that Isprak and that kind of quick hurlers went through a race. Hurricane Fly, quicker he goes, the better he'll be. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. Be nice if he came to Ireland, wouldn't it? Had a proper test. Mind you, he'd have to run in the Dublin Racing Festival before he'd meet Honeysuckle, right? Because
I'd say the only time we'd see him in Ireland is Punchestown, potentially.
Well, they do like to come, Michael Buckley and Nicky Anderson, don't they?
Yeah, and there was a big chat about last year. Okay, it didn't materialise, and I can see why, being a novice. But if they get a clear run to Cheltenham, who knows what will happen on a day. Honeysuckle getting the £7 mare allowance. She only does enough to win, if you like. So we don't really know quite how good she'll be if she's fully extended. We'll learn more about her on Sunday. But yeah, Punchestown on a Friday would be exciting if he was to turn up. But a lot of road covered between now and then, but hugely exciting.
Ah, massively.
And the difference in a week, I thought was, in a roundabout way, a far better move to have him in Newcastle than Ascot, where we would have learned nothing about him on the day.
Yeah, that's fair. It's great when they take each other on, these top horses. I know Epitant's beyond her best, probably, and not the most vintage champion hurdle winner, but she's a champion hurdler, you know.
Gordon Elliott upset Paul Nicholls a little bit about that this week, didn't he? Yeah.
Do you think he took it personally, Paul?
Gordon was only telling the truth, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, to give context, Gordon Elliott suggested that UK racing, you're able to duck and dive, I think was the phrase he used, in terms of the top horses. And Paul Nicholls came out. Now, I think the Racing Post kind of made more of it than he said. It basically said, no, I never duck and dive. And he's right. To be fair, Paul Nicholls doesn't. But British racing does give you the opportunity to do that. I don't think it's factual, right?
Big time. Like Constitution Hill is a perfect example. He could have went for a cakewalk in Ascot on the Saturday. Ground wasn't right. He needed to go to Newcastle. He should have only ever had the option to go to Newcastle, really.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And those grade ones, grade twos, they start to mix in, yeah. But look, we can't wait to see him again, Constitution. The one worry I'd have is that he had such a light campaign last season But I think Nicky's going to continue to do that. And we just want to see these horses. Like, how many times did he run last year? Twice over hurdles? Was it three times?
If we see him at Christmas and then Cheltenham, that'll be what's in my head, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be what's in their head as well. But he's what a smashing type. He could be the best ever, though, right?
He has the potential, yes, very much so. And what a horse to have to bring into the season. Okay, might not see a lot of him, but if everything goes well at Christmas, to build up to Cheltenham with him will be fantastic, especially if Honeysuckle gets there on the day, having had a clean run through the year as well.
That is key. And we'll see her on Sunday in the Hatton's Grace. And fingers crossed she comes back out all guns blazing, because we want to see that big, you know, head-to-head. It's been missing in a champion hurdle in a long time. Right. Back to Dundalk, and we'll continue to talk all things racing. This is the maiden we mentioned at the top of the program. I think this maiden, you could run this in the middle of June. Honestly, there's some really interesting types. There's a hugely expensive Joseph O'Brien newcomer. There's a Mick Alford trained horse who ran well in a turf maiden earlier on this year at Kalkapur. That's just an error, by the way, by Justify, is the Joseph O'Brien horse I mentioned. Cooler would be interesting if it gets in for Chair Lines. I think we've got a couple of horses rated in the 80s here, Fran, at least one. So this is a proper race.
Proper race, and I start with number 7, Justin R. As you said, by Justify, his progeny, only seen a limited amount of runners in this country, but what they've done to date, Statuette was by Justify, wasn't it? And a couple of them high-class Ballydoyle juveniles are by him, and looking at them, they're only going to get better from 2 to 3 physically, big units, and they seem to handle the polytrack as you'd expect with American breeding very well. You just have to monitor market moves. We haven't seen this horse trial. One thing about Joseph's juveniles in the last couple of weeks, they seem to be well ready at this time of the year to win or run very well first time out. So look, he's really interesting. He's got a nice drawn stall 7 and running at a mile for your first run. You've got the whole length of the back straight to find a rhythm, you know, get on your feet. If you're a little bit green initially, you've got 3.5 furlongs to the first bend. So it does give you a chance to get on your feet. You mentioned Mick Halford. He's got Cali Kapoor, who did shape some promise on testing ground at Leopardstown on debut. Did not show quite enough to my eye that he may well need another run to find out how good he is. I don't think he's quite up to winning yet. And number 6 initial attempt was a big eye catcher on debut. This track walked out of gates, was dead last initially, and finished off strongly down the outside. Not quite sure how the form of that maiden is in relation. I think it's normal Dundalk form, if that makes sense. I think there may well be a bit more on here tonight, on Friday night, and happy enough to watch him at this point in time, initial attempt for all. I do think he's up to winning a maiden. And number 9, Man of Eden, is going to be the selection based on his runs and experience. He's, as you said, PK, he's rated in the 80s of 84. And he shaped well on each of his 4 runs to date. I thought his debut run at Galway was eye-catching. His run at the track here at Dundalk back in August was very good. And that Galway run behind Alexander Dropoulos, who was a very impressive winner on the day. We haven't seen him since. Espionage, who flew home to be 2nd. Okay, both of them are making their debuts, but Espionage went on to be just beat by Proud and Regal in a Group 1 at St. Cloud at the back end of the year. And Man of Eden finished off his grass campaign with a very good run in Nursery to Curra. Now, one thing about Man of Eden, and he had cheek piece on his last run, and he looked a bit leery on a couple of occasions on a few starts. He's been gelded since then, and that's going to be the make it of him. He's got the experience. He's back up to a mile, which should suit him very well after that 7 furlong run at Tacora. I think running on good ground will suit him very well on the poly track. And unless the Joseph Ryan train newcomer Justin R is above average with the gelding operation, Man of Eden should be hard to beat.
Cruelest cut of all, indeed. But John Stephen O'Donoghue, or John O'Donoghue, trains now Currabeg, where
can often be the making of very any man.
It could be the making of a racehorse. I'm not sure the making of a man. It could definitely be the making of a racehorse. That is the second race on the card, the 5:30. Very good looking race. Justin Eyre, just to give context, the newcomer for Joseph cost £450,000. At the sales, which would have got you pretty much nothing this week at Tattersall's or Newmarket, where the
you wouldn't get a pint for that now, will you? Still,
no, pretty much no. 5.4 million guineas for alcohol free.
Yeah, and interest to see Coolmore outbid by Mr. Zhang, of course, the Yulon Corporation. Them green and white colours are a big coming force.
I think he's a billionaire.
Several times over, I'd reckon, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. And do you know what he used to do? He used to be a taxi driver.
Was he?
Yeah. It's hope for us all. Well, some of us. Yeah,
Yulon taxis, man.
Yeah. You won't be waiting Yulon. For your taxi if you use that one anyway. Yeah, that's the green colors of the white sleeves, and you see them in loads of Jesse horses as well as others as well. So 5.4 million spent on alcohol free this week. I'm gonna race her, continue to race her. Right, that was a nice little update on the money we don't have. The first of the extra place races, by the way, just to reiterate where the extra place races are, as always, very handy. 6 o'clock, 6:30, 8 o'clock, and 8:30, four places in all of those races instead of three. And the first of those is a handicap over a mile. I mentioned this race. It's a very good looking contest. 105 rated San Andreas, bit of a course specialist, tops the weights. A really interesting horse called Yuan there for Joseph O'Brien. Mm. New owners. And interestingly, Fran, the owners of this horse owned the second in the main. I'm probably taking away from your script. Anyway, what wins this?
You're okay, PK. You've done your homework this morning. Joseph, three runners in the race. San Andreas, top weight, very consistent on the all-weather, handicapped at the hilt, really. But Hugh Horgan takes off £7 off him. And that new addition, year one there, was very, very impressive winning on debut at Leopardstown for trainer Pat Foley. As you said, the owners of the second, owned the Joseph Bryan trained second, obviously suitably impressed and pitched up to purchase year one there. Opening mark of 89 is shade on the high side for the standard of the maiden on the day, but she was visually very impressive. The second, Sahira, is rated 76. So, look, she's £13 higher, but she has the potential to step forward. But stepping into deep waters here on only her second run, but could be a nice prospect. And Federal, number five, his form got a big boost, of course, last Sunday. Good heavens. Winning that three-year-old hurdle. Did he win three-year-old hurdle last Sunday night in Good Heavens? Or have I got the right horse?
I think he was fourth on his hurdling debut, Good Heavens. Fourth or fifth? Yeah, there was the other.
Good Heavens, Comfort Zone, excuse me.
Yeah, there was the other JP. You want to get those JP horses right back. Come on,
there you go. We'll go again. So so the form has not got a boost in the Cambridgeshire.
It got a four boost in the sense that Good Heavens was supposed to win that race.
It was, yeah. And unfortunately for a lot of us punters, he didn't win it the day. But I think he was beaten by a good horse in Federal. And look, he's very lightly raced. He'd only one run 2020, one run 2021, and two runs in 2022. And he was second to Good Heavens, reversed form with him to Cambridgeshire. He went down to the furlong pole hard on the bridle under Mikey Sheehy on that occasion. He was the only horse still travelling at that point in time. And he's only £4 higher than that PK. And given he's obviously had training problems, switching to the poly track, flat tracks, get a grip on the surface, he could be better again than the bare form. And I think he will be very hard to beat here. He's got a nice draw in stall six, and he's aced on £12. Walhan and How Do You Like That were first and second recent to track, both are open to further improvement. How You Like That, a big improver last time, finishing off well. And Walhan on his UK form for Kieran Murphy is really interesting. He could be a nice prospect. Drawn out in stall 11, he likes to get forward in the pace. It just might make life difficult. And the quicker to go, the better I think he'll suit Federal.
Okay, so Federal for Fran. You did fancy him. I think he was pulled out last time. He was due to run on the grass and you fancied him, but he was a non-runner. Just by the way, if you're listening, you're thinking that Fran has forgotten the name of the horse called Your One There. No, that is the name of the horse. Your One There is the name of the horse. That's a very Irish phrase. Your One There. Your One There. That's the first of our extra place races. We'll kick on with more races in a second. You were over in Nick Luck's studio. Luck on Sunday, you were doing the Japan Cup. The question I asked you before you went over is, for those who watch Luck on Sunday, there's always a plate of croissants there. No one ever seems to eat them. Did you have a croissant?
No,
I did not. For God's sake, Fran. They are real, yeah?
They are real and they're pretty fresh. Yeah, they look pretty fresh and smell good. But did you ever try and eat a croissant with your suit? It just doesn't really end well.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest negative is that nobody wants to look like they're a total mess. So.
Oh, well, some pundits have done a great job at it, to be fair. So some are brilliant at it. It doesn't seem to, they don't mind as long as the stuff they're talking about is good.
I've got OCD, so it's not good.
so no cross on. You fancied Ernesto going into last week's Japan Cup. You didn't factor in that Ryan Moore cannot ride a loser at the moment.
No, Ernesto had a rough trip down the inside. Very, very messy race. Normally in a Japan Cup, you get a extremely strong pace to get strung out, but on this occasion they went along very slowly. Ryan had to take all the chances on the winner Vela Azul, and it was a stunning ride to watch. You know, everything there was a point in the race where maybe he could have tried to get out to the outside. He didn't. He knew if he tried to do that, you're going to lose the race. Ryan, full of confidence, decided to just bide his time, take the gaps when it arrived, and he had to be patient. But his patience paid off when that gap arrived inside the last half furlong. It was, a very, very spectacular thing to see the result.
That's some trip for Ryan. Head out there for a couple of days and come back with a shed load of yen. Like, that is, that's not bad. And I'll be off to Hong Kong now for their international meeting. But if you haven't seen it, I'm sure there's loads of ways of seeing it. It is a top class ride, because it was a very, on form, that horse had plenty to do, fair to say.
Yeah, he was an improver, if you like, but he had to step forward quite a bit on his bare form. He'd won a Group 2, but he would not have been one of the main protagonist for the Japan Cup 6 weeks ago. He just really stepped forward, but I think having Ryan on him, taking all the chances, it just made all the difference. Whether he confirmed the form in a month's time with the same horse with a cleaner race, who would say, but he got today and caps off what has been a very good year for Ryan.
Yeah, pretty decent. Does he have a fan club though in Japan?
Haven't seen any t-shirts of him. It's hard to get a picture of him smiling, you see, so it's
very difficult. Even after winning, as I said, a shedload of yen. Now, well done to Ryan Moore. It was a brilliant, brilliant ride. And well done. Did you enjoy your time in Nick Luck's studio? Is he good? Is it as good as this, though? Is it more, much fun?
Yeah, the lighting's very warm, actually, so it is on a Sunday morning. And Neil Channing's always very interesting. I like meeting him. He's a good listen. And we had a half an hour pre-show, had a good chat, and interesting view on life and on the punting landscape and whatnot. I enjoy meeting Neil, yeah.
Yeah, he's pro punter still, is it? That's
yes,
his gig?
Yeah, yeah, pro punter, and obviously the big poker player back. I'm not sure how much of that he does now, but he says English race Monday to Friday is, might give it a swerve, but the Saturdays, that's where his big days are.
Yeah, which is probably a lot of people follow that, to be fair. But we've had a couple of good midweek cards. It was obviously Exeter, it was Friday, and then there was the good one at Warwick a couple of weeks ago. Mm. So they can crop up outside of the festivals. I would say they can crop up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, let's talk about the next at Dundalk, 6:30, second extra place race. This is an apprentice handicap, so we're looking at, again, some of the younger jockeys and some of recently ridden winners. James Ryan, he's on board International Lady, he'll have to be at his best here. This race, Zonic, Cousin Shay, Malaysian. Now, of course, Malaysian was one of your nice each-way plays last week. I don't know much about this young jockey. Might be fancied again, wasn't done back last week.
Yeah, hopefully she weighs in. I might go down and put the saddle on properly this time, because it was quite expensive when she got disqualified from fourth place last time. But start Malaysian. She was an eye-catcher two starts ago and ran really well when fourth last time. Rider weighed in 3 pounds light. She travelled like a winner all the way and got to the front a furlong and a half out and seemed to idle and park once hitting the front. So look, Conor Stonewall, she's going to have to be patient on her from that draw, try and get a bit of cover and not commit to the front too early. If he can time it right, I think she's still very well handicapped and ready to win. Cousin Shay has a tendency to run very keen in his races, and if he was to relax, he could be very well handicapped still, but I'm just not quite convinced he's a miler. I think 7 furlongs may well be more to his strength, and I'm happy enough to take him on this occasion. Havana Pearl, very, very interesting with Sam Ewing booked to ride, dropped down 8 pounds in the rating since being seen back in the spring. And I'm going to take a chance on her for all that she hasn't been seen for quite a length of time. I like that Sam Ewing is booked to ride her. She was very keen for going filly last winter on the all weather, always shaped a bit better than a bare result. She's a hood on for the first time and she's dropping right down a grade into this lower bracket of a race. And maybe she's best off fresh in that she may well just be her first run as her best run. And with Sam Ewing booked to ride, going to take a chance on her that she relaxes, does everything right. And if she does in this greater race, she could be a little bit of a blot taking on Cousin Shay, Malaysian, who do have kinder draws and more recent form. But value maybe with Havana Pearl and Sam Ewing in this kind of race could be a huge asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Ewing, both codes, top notch. Listeners to this podcast may remember that when Fran Berry tips up Mick Halford horses, they get absolutely smashed up. So that's what happened a few weeks ago when they were all 4 or 5 to 1 in the morning and one of them went off odds on and one of them comes up later on this evening. Kialok was another one of those. So yeah, keep an eye out for Havana Pearl. There was a fair few that got smashed up and all won under Ronan Whelan. This one, obviously, with Sam Ewing. Not as good a maiden, this second one on the card, the 7 o'clock, I think it's fair to say. Smaller field. Aces Wild for John McConnell, Siobhan Rutledge may well make the market. Diamonds in the Sand was a much improved second. Diamonds in the Sand is rated 67, but actually could be fancied here. So that probably tells you everything about this maiden.
Yeah, this time of year, six fallen maidens are generally weaken off. Aces Wild, very, very good run over course and distance. Showed good promise on debut over five furlongs and built on that, stepping up and trip, just caught in line, if you like, after travelling strongly and went through the race really well. Showed a bit of greenness once hitting the front, rolled around left and right, and was just vulnerable to a closer, Epsama, who's only rated in the high 60s, but had plenty of experience coming from the UK to win for Adam McGuinness. And Tack, number four, has snippets of form that would give him a chance of being involved, but I don't think he's progressing all that much, PK. And number two, Diamond in the Sand, bit of revelation at Nace at the back end of last season, but the ground was extremely testing. I'd put a line through the form of that race in some respects. I'm not quite sure how it would stack up here, switching to the all-weather, and is likely to go off at a good gallop, I would think, Diamond in the Sand. I'm hoping if he does that and hit both him and Aces Wild and Tack get taken each other on, I'm going to stick with number three, Senior Carrots. Now, we're taking on trust that he's going to pitch up after running here on Wednesday. He ran a handicap, but he was a big eye-catcher behind Inishmore Prince. He showed promise on each of his four starts, really, to date. He dropped down to six furlongs last night, it was, and he travelled strongly. He had to make his challenge down towards the outside, and he took a length of time to get going. But last 100 yards, he finished off really well and galloped out by line strongly. If he backs up here, back into maiden company, having had the benefit of that run in six furlong handicap, he should be in his comfort zone. I think he'd be very hard to beat against this opposition.
Mr. Carrots, aka Senior Carrots, for Andy Oliver and Billy Lee, was well backed on Wednesday night as well. I think it was nearly halved in price. And so see if the money comes again. Now, weekend racing, Fran. We've got in the UK the Tingle Creek, which we have decorations for. In Ireland, we've got a cracking weekend, obviously, Ferry House Saturday, and then Sunday it really gets into Grade One territory. Your specialist, though, is the stuff that isn't the graded racing in Ireland. I like it when you put something up in these maiden hurdles and these less handicaps. And there's some very good runners running on Saturday at Ferry House, to be fair.
Yeah, look, Saturday is obviously quite a day after 2 day meeting and at Ferry House. But them maiden hurdles and beginners chases are going to be very interesting with a view to the future. Manila Crooner just beat by Darren's Hope at Punchestown recently in that Grade Two. He'll probably set a good standard and entitled to be favoured in race one, but William Mullins got a very interesting recruit from England, the ex-Nicky Henderson trained Ian Maximus in them pink and black colours of Claudio Gretsch. Is that?
Yeah, but he's English, right? I mean, I think his mother's Italian. If you hear him speaking, he's definitely of English, but yeah, Claudio Gretsch, yeah. Very interesting move to trainer switch, that one.
Yeah, I think he's moved all of his horses to trainers in Ireland, which is probably a testament to either the prize money, the training level over here, or the competition. But
they want to win at Cheltenham, that's why.
Yeah, and they want to take each other on in more than 500 races, probably. But
I think this is heard in the UK as well, this podcast. But anyway, for cooking off.
Geo-blocked, I think, will be after this. And I am Maximus. Look, he's very interesting on chasing debut. He's running the Ballymore behind Sir Gerhard when he was fourth. Okay, he's beaten 21 lengths, and the ground was quite testing on that occasion. But second Hillcrest on New Year's Day, just could be a bit more to come. And with the stable switch, I'm very, very interested in him. It's interesting to see Manila Crooner's got cheek pieces on. He didn't help Jack Kennedy at a couple of stages through the race, and Darren's Hope is a far more resolute in the finish to battle off. So look, I'm Maximus, race one, definitely the one to watch there. And them two maiden hurdles are going to be really, really interesting, aren't they? The 1:17 race, fourth race of the day. Benno didn't jump a hurl at all in Punchestown and hurling debut. Question mark whether he can transfer that flat form to jumping, but we will give him the benefit of doubt. He's having a quick turnaround. Good land, very impressive on all his starts to date for Barry Connell, who's got a big weekend for him, of course. And Jaya Mashan, trained by Paul Nolan, his form ties in with Facil Vega, who we're going to see out in the next race. And it's really, really interesting to see Facil Vega out. It's not before time, but hugely exciting, isn't it? Yeah, wow. First, 3rd of December, if he can get through that, hopefully everything goes well. But we're talking about Constitution Hill, this is our, you know, big hope, isn't it? You know, if he can transfer that bumper form to hurdles, it's going to be hugely exciting. And hopefully everything goes well on Saturday for him.
Yeah, fingers crossed. See him win this, see him win again at Christmas, and then hopefully goes on to win. Chevron obviously runs in at Cheltenham.
Yeah, Benno, it was an interesting one, wasn't it? Will he give mention to the Lawlers at Nace also over 2.5
Yeah, that's
in
true.
January, so we'll learn more, but given the speed he's shown in bumpers, it'd be slightly disappointing if he wasn't a 2 mile over hurdles at this point in time.
It would be, but we know obviously that the dam got 3 comfortably. She won a Stayers in Ireland, didn't she? The one time she went up for the 3 mile, and obviously won over 2.5 Cheltenham. Yeah, look. Actually, he's just such a fascinating animal. I'll tell you when Benno will reach the form that he reached on his fourth start over hurdles. That's when he'll reach the form he showed.
I think he's more of a spring horse, to be honest, anyway. You know?
Oh, yeah. And that will be his fourth start in a handicap hurdle. He's got two more runs in maidens. We'll watch him run those, and then we'll get on to the fourth one. That's when it'll become interesting.
And on the flip side of that, we'll talk about spring horses. We'll talk about an autumn horse, the 302, the best bet of the day. Ooh. In Explosive Boy, Tony Martin, nearly had 2 winners at Cheltenham, of course, at the November meeting. Roy Delarge had a good pop on, didn't he?
Yeah, it was 7-1 when we were talking, and he said that'll go 6-4. I think he did touch 6-4 unanswered and then went back out to around 5-2, but heck of a shout.
Yeah, easy watch it was too. And Explosive Boy ran really well to be second in that race. It was very, very messy. He's a horse I've followed on a couple of occasions last year. Don't think things fully panned out for him. He's got bottom weight here, and he, I think, is going to take quite a bit of beat. And I don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet, and he's only coming there. A real Tony Martin trained improver. He gets weight from all his rivals, and with recent fitness, once the ground doesn't deteriorate, which it looks to be a dry week, he should be very hard to beat.
Yeah, he's in the 302. He was a huge drifter at Cheltenham, a massive drifter. I think he went off 20-1 when he was definitely a single figure price last time out. So the exact opposite of unanswered, and he ran a cracker, as you said. Flying Scotsman, maybe we'll put it together one day over hurdles. He's in that race as well, maybe.
Yeah, 2.5 miles is suiting him well. And Dr. Churchill, number 5, has been a little bit disappointing. He's getting a little bit of a question mark about his attitude. He used to refuse in the flat as well. And Biggs Belief would be interesting for Matthew Smith as well. But I just think off a mark of 111, Explosive Boy, 7 or 8 pounds lower than his UK mark as well, which is standard, I suppose, for Irish horses. But he ticks a lot of boxes. Owner Seamus Ross, Fairy House, local enough track to him. I think it ticks a lot of boxes.
Oh, lovely. Okay, there's another angle into it. Right, keep an eye for Explosive Boy in that race at Fairy House. That is, just to confirm, the 3:02 on Saturday afternoon. All right, back to Dundalk. The 7:30 is the aptly named Christmas party nights at Dundalk. You're going to be surrounded by them, I'd say, on Friday evening, Fran. They might bring you down a few beers or whatever. Now, this is a good race. This is a 1.5 handicap. There's a few horses we've been watching over the course of the winter, including Cozone, who beat your nap, albeit you gave a mention last week. Back out again for Matt Smith and Chris Hayes. You've got Kialik, who you've tipped up to win recently as well. And my assumption is they'll make the market.
Yeah, I think you're right, PK. And start with Cozone. Got a very good ride off Chris Hayes over that 2 mile trip to win last week. He quickened up to win and win well, and then he idled once hitting the front. So look, he's a fine art to get Cozone to win, in that he just got to time it to perfection. If you're in front 10 strides too soon, you're going to get beat. Now that Chris has one of them, he's got the key to him, if you like. And I don't think dropping down to 1.5 will be an inconvenience to him if to go gallop. He need a strong pace to aim at, which with No Saver number 2 in the mix, is possible that he will get an even gallop to aim at. But the key point to this race is Kialik was a good winner, beating Dalvey back in second, who reopposes, and No Saver on that occasion. And I think he'd be very hard to beat again. I think he won readily last time. He's only off 5 pounds of the weights. He's a big unit, very unexposed. He's only getting better at race. And I thought Ronan Whelan was very clever on the last day. He just went to win his race and done enough to win. And I don't think Dalvey or No Saver can reverse form with him. I think overall that form is far better than Cozone's overall. And Kialik will be very, very hard to beat again the race. One horse maybe best watch on this occasion, number 8, Palace Rock, whom is one from two on the all weather, has only got a rating of 74 and has done well over hurdles for the Casey since going jumping. He could be an improver, but I'll watch him on this occasion and stick with Kialik.
Brands Mole in the Halford Yard has been in touch. That's two for Halford on Friday evening.
Racing manager, you know.
clearly. Well, you have them all laid out for the Christmas money on Friday night again. So that's two for Mick Halford. We'll look at the 8 o'clock before we chat. Maybe have a quick look at the Dingle Creek. The 8 o'clock is the first division of the Inter Jockeys Fund Handicap. This one over a mile and a quarter. We're back to the bog standard stuff. Brinksty tops the weights for this one for John McConnell and Siobhan Rutledge. They're busy. Miss Dark Street, Mephisto, Lily on the Glen, Gemini Man. Probably going to be the ones to concentrate on.
Yeah, we'll start with number four, Ayanna Moore, trained by Gavin Cromwell. Bit of an eye catcher last time, over a mile and a half, and she drops back down to what should be near enough her best trip nowadays. She's fully £20 lower in the handicap than her last win a couple of years ago, but has been running really well on occasions off her lower mark on the grass, and 10 furlongs around here should suit her well. She's drawn out in stall 12 and just happy to watch her with interest and see how she performs, but she could well be getting back to something like her winning mark. And then you have number 10, Mephisto, who's also improving with racing. Very good second to Golden Sandbanks last time. And again, dropping down for 12 furlongs, down to 10 and a half furlongs, should suit him well. He was a bit keen on that occasion. And Dark Street is a definitely improved number 7 since switching to the poly track. Very good run last time when he's beat by an inspired Colin Keane. Just got up to beat Dark Street on Matilda with me on that occasion, and he too could step forward. But I think the key to this race is Stardays, Lily of the Glen and Gemini Man, their first, second and third on that occasion, when Lily of the Glen showed a really good attitude to fend off Stardays and Gemini Man, having made all from wide draw. She's got a wide draw in stall 14 again and could step forward, but I think the key to this race is number 9, Gemini Man. PK has got the visors on for the first time. He looked very green. He looked a bit raw once Niall McCullough asked him to go and challenge Lily of the Glen last time. Lost a bit of concentration. He's got a low draw here on this occasion. He's likely raced, and with the visors on, I think he's ready to win here.
Gemini Man to win that 8 o'clock. And remember, that is one of our extra place races. Dreadful movie, that Gemini Man, by the way. Will Smith, one of his worst ones. Crap. Right, but hopefully good enough for us to win that race. Now, I just remembered that Aaron, I think his name is Jameson, asked me again for your Christmas snap, man. I know you didn't get it. You didn't give it to me. You said, give me time. Had you got it yet?
I do, yes, yeah.
Okay,
if he turns up to, if he turns up tomorrow, senior cards race 5, we'll win.
Oh, that's not just Christmas nap. This is the... Oh, I thought there was horses.
No, this is definitely Christmas nap, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, yeah. Jesus, all right. So send your carrots. I broke that one. Okay, everyone's just going to stop listening there. Sorry, all right. Yeah, so send your carrots will be the Christmas nap. That's a big shout.
48-hour turnaround, but I think the company's travelling in on Friday night should he turn up, and I love the way he hit the line unexposed, taking on lesser opposition, and with Aces Wild number 1 likely to make the market, I think Senior Cards will be hard to beat.
At DeGembo, his name is Aaron Jameson, there you go, send your carrots as France Christmas nap.
And if he doesn't, if he gets beat, we have 3 more weeks to get it.
Exactly. It's always next week. It's always next week. The Tingle Creek on Saturday. Now we're recording on Thursday, as we always do Thursday morning, but all the big guns were declared, and I must say I was mildly surprised but delighted to see that they're all in it. Shishkin is even money, 2-1 Grenadine, 11-2 Edward Stone, 9-1 Gentleman to Me, Willie Mullins, 22-1 Finambu, Sibilla and Dunvegan. Fair play, Pat Fahey, throwing it in the mix. That said, 100-1 now, could be shorter if we do get a few horses pulled out. It's an absolute belter of a Tingle Creek, Fran, if they all run. Shishkin even money after what he did last time out?
Yeah, you couldn't back him, could you? You know, it's having had that mishap in the champion chase. You could only look at him for all that. You would imagine Nicky Henderson, okay, we'll take the ground out of it for a moment. And Nicky Henderson would not be running him unless he was confident of a good run. And look, if he pitches up like his Energy Mean form at Ascot, he'll be very hard to beat. Grenadine, very good winner of the race last year, beaten Hitman by 5.5 lengths. He likes to track. He sets a good standard, and he was a good winner at Exeter in his comeback run. Edwardston got beaten by Gentleman to Me, of course, at Aintree, but quick turnaround from winning the Arkell on that occasion. You'd be inclined to forgive that. Gentleman to Me had not run in Cheltenham. Obviously, he'd won in early March, and that may well have been the key to that result there. But are they all going to turn up? That is the question. I think we're going to have a... Will he, won't he kind of thing for the day?
The, ra-
Trainers will walk the track, the stakes will be out, and then they might wait until their jockey's riding the first race. And as we're betting at this point in time, it's after declaration time. You're just going to have to wait till 5 minutes before the race and see what runs, really, PK. It was Antipost, probably Gentleman to Me, would be the play at his current odds. Having had to run, okay, it was disappointing last time. If there's no rule four, and it was yesterday, it was Wednesday, I'd back Gentleman to Me at 9-1, but it's not a race to have a bet in.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you don't have to bet every race. We can sit back and watch. It should be really interesting. Grenadine, I think we can definitely say he's going to run.
In an ideal world, if they all turn up, it'll be classic race. It'll be a proper, you know, proper 2 mile grade one test. But at this point in time, you'd have to say that the first and third in the betting are probably not going to turn up.
Well, we know that some trainers love racecourse gallops. This time they'll be the actual gallopers, potentially, with the walking stakes themselves.
Call into Kempton on the way home, give him a gallop, I suppose. Oh, that's it.
Why not?
On the poly track, use
the poly track. No problems with that. Yeah, look, it should be, well, fingers crossed if they all run, and it could and should be Belgium. Listen out for Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy's thoughts on that race later. Right, back to Dundalk. 8:30, that's our next race. Look, it's the second division of that Inter Jockeys Handicap Mile and a Quarter Inter Jockeys Fund. This is another wide open race. Again, we've got all the usual suspects here: John McConnell, Dennis Hogan, Mick Halford, and Ronan Whelan. With the last minute winner, are we going Kampala Beach?
Kampala Beach, and it's a good turn. When he won on a Wednesday, unfortunately, that wasn't for the podcast, but he done me a good turn when winning on that occasion. Lightly raced horse, I think, getting on a sound surface, PK on a flat track, saw him at his best last time. He's only got up 6 pounds in the ratings for that. Only a light race 3-year-old. He's got a decent draw in stall 8. It is probably the better division of the two races. Down the 8 o'clock, this is probably a stronger division. Keep an eye on number one, Great Solution, Russell Sullivan's filly. Big improver on good ground, winning twice during the summer months. Has had 90 days off. I'd probably watch her with interest and see how she shapes up here in the all weather. May well want a mile and a half on the all weather to be seen at her best. And number three, Tana La, was probably the one that I was siding with against Kampala Beach. And she shaped really well over course and distance last time again in a 3-year-old only handicap, but just drawn in stall 15. I think that just might leave her vulnerable. She's a foregone filly. And maybe might do a bit too much in early stages and be vulnerable to a closer. And that closer will be number 7, Kampala Beach. Strong finisher last time, unexposed, 6 pounds higher in the weights. Should compete. A very good evening for trainer Mick Halford.
Yes, indeed. And this one will be ridden by Ronan Whelan as well. So Mick Halford at the treble, it would appear, again at Dundalk. Right, that is Dundalk finished. That's all the things discussed on the world of horse racing as well that we think is worthy. Now, I know you've kind of given it away, but let's go back. Your nap and then maybe a little lack of first as well.
Yeah, nap of the evening is Senior Carrots Race 5. Should he turn up after the quick turnaround on Wednesday, he's going from a very competitive handicap. He's had the experience now of running over 6 furlongs. He's taking on exposed rivals to a point, if you like, in a 6 furlong maiden. Respect for number one, Ace as well, but I do think Senior Carrots will be a stronger finisher in the final furlong. Billy Lee is back on board, so he's the nap in race 5. We're going to throw him though into 4-way Acca as well.
4-way,
yes.
Okay, off you go.
Race 2, Man of Eden, unless Justin Arrow, trained by Joseph Bryan, that debutant by Justify is above average. Man of Eden, having been gelded, should be hard to beat. Race 3, Federal, I think he's still a handicap lot, and I think he could be better again on the poly track here tonight and should take a lot of beating. He's got a very good record fresh. You haven't seen a lot of him, but that Cambridgeshire win, the way he travelled through the race, has stuck in the mind. Race 5, Senior Carrots, no more explaining about him. He'll get the carrots for Rudolph and the Red-Nosed Reindeer, so at Christmas, hopefully. And Kialik, Race 6, the middle leg of the travel for Mick Halford, of course, but Kialik, very unexposed. So the four of them in a win act, I think, will all be in the market and very hard to beat with any luck in running. And we've got an each way double as well to
try. Oh, you keep going, crowd. Fran. Off you go. Yeah, keep going.
Race 1, Maritime Rules, low draw, dropping down to 5 furlongs, I think could be the key to his chances. And Billy Lee is back in the saddle. I think that should suit him very well. And Race 7, first time visors on Gemini Man. Both of them will be good each way of value, and are both, I think, getting ready to win.
Lovely. Okay. I'd recap all that, but it was too many. Listen, just press rewind and listen again.
Graphics are needed.
Just press rewind. You know, you can do the 15 seconds back, 15 seconds back. Just do that a couple of times. And that's what Fran put up for his nap. His win ACCA and his each way double as well. Listen, Fran, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy. Any plans for weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Ferryhouse on Sunday. A couple of friends are all from England, so I'm going to go for a few hours and see Honeysuckle, catch up with them pre-Christmas. And I'm looking forward to that. So
no work this weekend after a full gamut in the studio last weekend?
Dundalk Friday night, of course.
That's
not work to us.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's absolutely not. Enjoy the Christmas parties then. Yeah, Christmas party season. Yeah, try and get some of them on TV. Come on, bring some of them down for the crack.
Actually, on that, last weekend when Dandyville went by the line for the last race, I think it went off odds on early Dandyville in the handicap, but do you want to hear the roar of the crowd and they're all up in the balcony roaring down the way in Lord. It was good to see, you know, just a bit of atmosphere and thankfully to finish night on a winner.
Fair play to them for all going through the form that fastidiously that they were able to pick out Dandyville, and it wasn't just a case of favourite in the last. Yeah, well done to them.
When we left, there was 8 more greyhound races, so I don't know how that fared out afterwards. But
always stick around for the dogs after. Listen, Fran, enjoy your weekend. Have fun at Ferryhouse on Sunday, and we will, as ever, be back next week. Maybe a little bit different time, but we'll be back. Take it easy, folks.